What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Thimberg, and today we're going to be talking, basically going through an entire breakdown of the offseason, my ideal offseason, a simulation of sorts where I'm going to sim the draft lottery. I'm going to go through the draft, go through free agency, go through whether we should sign veteran players or stay true to ourselves and play the young guys. Just going to go through as if I was Michael Winger and Will Dawkins, and we played out the offseason. I'm kind of going to give you my blueprint for success and what I would label as a good offseason. I feel like it'll be a fun exercise. I feel like it'll be fun for me. This is what I usually do when I'm bored in class and I have nothing better to do than basically mock the entire Wizards offseason. And now that I have a podcast and I have people like you that are, I'm thankful enough that I listen. Hopefully you guys will enjoy it too and kind of enjoy my thoughts on the whole thing. So just want to get into it for right now. It all starts basically a week from, well, I'm recording this on Tuesday. So it all starts on Sunday, May 12th, and that's the NBA draft lottery. It's lottery Sunday to some people, but it's Super Bowl Sunday for the Wizards. This is why you tank. You tank to get a top pick. And the way the NBA set up the new lottery system, it's stacked against teams like the Wizards. They don't want to, encourage tanking. They want to say you might be the second or worst team in the league, but that doesn't mean you won't get the sixth overall pick. And I'm here to tell you right now, I simmed the draft lottery 100 times last night. I posted this on my Twitter. The Wizards got the fifth pick the most by far, 28% of the time. The next closest, I think, was maybe 15% or 16%. And that was the second pick. They're gonna get the fifth pick. I'm telling you right now, they are going to get the fifth pick. Do not be surprised. Do not be upset. Honestly, if I had a little bit of advice for Wizards fans going into Sunday, it would be please, please, please go into it thinking the Wizards will get the fifth or sixth pick. It'll make it a lot easier when they do get those picks, because then you won't be upset. You won't have your hopes and dreams crushed that they were gonna get a better pick. Because they're not. It's the Wizards. They have the worst lottery luck ever. They will get the fifth or sixth overall pick. And I did that not only to kind of show Wizards fans that you shouldn't really be expecting much from the lottery. They're probably going to get the fifth or sixth pick. I also did it because I wanted to do this simulation realistically, and I wanted to actually sim the lottery. And based on the 100 times I did it, the fifth pick was 28 times out of those 100. So we're going to go for the simulation with the Wizards getting the fifth overall pick. That would put them at the fifth pick, the 26th pick via LA, the Clippers from the Gafford trade, and then the 52nd pick via Phoenix in the Bradley Beal trade. So three picks, 5, 26, and 52, and then kind of going from the draft into free agency and stuff like that. But before we get into free agency, so we settled on the Wizards get the fifth overall pick. That's the lottery. Before we move on to the draft, there's one thing that I have to kind of emphasize here and something that I want to look into, and that's the market, the trade market for Kyle Kuzma. Look, I love Kyle Kuzma as a person. I love him as a player. I think he's very skilled, great shooter, really shows his character that he wants to stay in DC, kind of. Didn't veto that trade to Dallas, but basically vetoed the trade to Dallas because he wanted to stay here instead of chasing a ring on a team like the Mavericks. He just had to open a restaurant in DC, very beloved by the fan base. It's hard to move on from a player like that, but and I'm not saying you have to, and I'm not saying that I think it's the best move. All I'm saying is you have to at least gauge the market. You have to at least explore your options here. And to me, I just basically taking 30 minutes looking at a bunch of teams that have high picks in this year's draft, and could make maybe a draft night trade work. Maybe they're right on the verge of competing and contending, and those picks don't really mean much to them, but they mean a lot to the Wizards. Those are the teams I was kind of looking for, and I found two of those inside the top 10. I found Memphis, who's currently sat at 7. And I found Brooklyn, who, or sorry, Houston, who has Brooklyn's pick unprotected, that sit at 9. So that's two teams in the top 10. And two teams that, I mean, for Memphis team, they are in this top 10 because their entire team was hurt the entire season. They're going to be back to being a contender next year. And they don't they don't need a seventh overall pick, especially in a bad draft class. What use do you have? You might as well move that pick in some capacity. And the Wizards make a good trade partner. Kyle Kuzma is a good fit, I feel like, for a Memphis team that kind of needs some size and shooting. And then you look at a team like Houston, they're too, though they didn't even make the play-in this year. But what does the ninth pick do for a team that's had a top five draft pick the last, what, four drafts? And you factor in you have Şengün, who was what, the 18th pick as well. Like, you're a really young team. Do you really need another young player, or would you rather have an accomplished guy like Kyle Kuzma and move on from that ninth pick, especially when you're trying to contend now, like Houston will be next year, and you don't have the time to develop a guy that you pick top 10. So those are the two teams I'm looking at. And here's the two trades I came up with. And look, again, I'm going to preface because I know some people will come at me for this. I'm not saying that we should trade Kyle Kuzma. I'm saying that the Wizards should at least explore the options. The first move is Kyle Kuzma to Memphis. And it would send Kyle Kuzma as the only player from the Wizards to the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies would then send back Luke Kennard on an expiring deal, John Conchar, and the seventh overall pick to the Washington Wizards. And I know this is rich. I know I don't think Kyle Kuzma is worth a seventh overall pick. But this there's two facets that make this seventh overall pick not as worth it as you think. This draft class is arguably the worst draft class in a decade, based on what people are talking about, based on what draft experts are talking about, what GMs are talking about. This is one of the worst draft classes ever. And so the seventh overall pick isn't the seventh overall pick it usually is in terms of value. And then you also got to factor in how much does a team like Memphis value the seventh overall pick? I think it is valuable in the fact that they could get a solid role player on a rookie deal for 4 years when they're already paying Bane, Ja, and Jaren Jackson Jr. and Marcus Smart $20 million. They kind of need these low salary guys, which is fine. It would make sense. But also, they're trying to win now and compete in a really tough Western Conference. And would you rather have the seventh overall pick and Luke Kennard on expiring deal, or would you rather have Kyle Kuzma? I think Kyle Kuzma is way better than Luke Kennard. I think Kyle Kuzma, well, I don't think, I know Kyle Kuzma is a championship caliber player, won a ring in LA, and he'd play a similar role in Memphis. He'd go from the number one in Washington to arguably the number three or four in Memphis. He'd probably start at the four. You'd go, well, their starting lineup would be like Ja, Bane, Marcus Smart, Desmond Bane, Kyle Kuzma, Jaren Jackson Jr. I mean, that's really good. Great length, great defenders across the board, pretty much. Great scoring, can stretch the floor with Bane and Kuz. Jaren can shoot. That's a solid lineup. And look, I don't think the seventh overall pick would even sniff the court for a really good team like Memphis. Conchar and Kennard, you're upgrading to Kuzma. I think this is a move that would work. And I'm not saying, look, a lot of people might think the Wizards are getting fleeced. Like, do you really want the seventh overall pick? You can get more for Kuz. And a lot of people are going to think the Grizzlies are giving up too much for Kuz. I think this is a good deal for both teams. It factors in the Wizards are looking to get younger. Adding another top 10 pick makes sense for Kyle Kuzma, who won't probably be here for the long haul. And the Grizzlies upgrade at a position of need at the forward and don't necessarily value that seventh overall pick. So that's the first trade. Just think about it. And then the second trade, which I'm not as high on as the first trade, just because, yes, Houston and Kuzma is a decent fit, but you also got to remember Houston might want to use this pick. They also might want to package two or three first round picks, including this, to get a better player to go alongside, because I don't think Kyle Kuzma even puts them into the top five or six in the West. So this is just a thought. It would be Kyle Kuzma to Houston, Jock Landale, Jayshon Tate, and Jermaine Samuels to the Wizards, in addition to the ninth overall pick in the 2024 draft via the Nets. And obviously, this will be determined based on the lottery, but for this sake, we'll say that the Nets have the ninth pick conveys to Houston. The thing about this trade is Houston, just like Memphis, I don't feel like they have much use for a top 10 pick, especially in a poor draft class. You have so much young talent already. They already decided We need to bring in more vets. They brought in Fred VanVleet. They brought in Dylan Brooks. They even brought in Jeff Green, who's a free agent this offseason. Like they need to get more experience to go alongside these young guards. And for a team that kind of has a position of need at the power forward, I mean, you could start Kuz at the three, Jabari Smith at the four, and then have like Amen at the two with VanVleet. It gets dicey. That's why I'm the fit here in Houston isn't as seamless as the fit in Memphis, but I feel like a team like Houston can make it work. Maybe put Amen off the bench, start VanVleet, Jalen Green, Kuz, Jabari Smith, and then find your center somewhere. You have Steven Adams. That's a solid team. A team like Houston can make it work if they really feel like Kyle Kuzma is the missing piece, which I disagree with, but those are two things that I think the Wizards should look at. I think they should at least explore. You should be exploring everything with a rebuilding team. Apart from trading Bilal Coulibaly, you should be exploring trading anybody. And I don't care how much you like the player or not. I love Kuzma, but he arguably has the most trade value apart from Denny Avdia on this team. And moving him in this offseason for another top 10 pick, it's a no-brainer for me. So these are two trades I'd look into. I think the Memphis trade is the better trade for both sides in terms of fit in Memphis for Kuz and the seventh pick, but better than the ninth pick, taking on expiring salaries. That move makes sense. So if I had to pick one, I'd trade him to Memphis for that package of Kennard, Conchar, and the seventh overall pick. But if we do keep Kuz, it's not the end of the world. I would assume if he stays through the offseason, he'll stay through the season. And then once he's making less than $20 million, one of the biggest bargain contracts in the league, then that following season it'll get more intense on where he'll go. So that's the exploring the Kuz trade market. For the sake of this simulation, I am moving him to Memphis. Memphis accepts this deal. The Wizards like this deal. That gives the Wizards the seventh overall pick in the draft. So moving on to the NBA draft, the Wizards have picks 5, 7, 26, and 52. Here's the thing. The Wizards at pick 5, and I ran this on fanspo.com, which isn't, I wouldn't say it's the most reliable because I'm not necessarily a fan of their mock draft simulator in terms of the way they select prospects isn't the greatest. You know, some teams like it's if a team like Memphis were there, they would have Memphis take like another point guard even though they don't need it. And that's a team that's drafting for fit instead of upside. You know, there's certain things like that. Alex Sarr might go 4. So it's not the best, if I'm being honest, but it gets the job done. And I try to be realistic by kind of just selecting it as every single team. Instead of just the Wizards, so that I can kind of map out how I honestly think it's going to go. And at the fifth pick, it went Sarr, Risacher, Topic, and then Cody Williams. So I had the fifth pick. There's a lot of great prospects here. You could go Dillingham, you could go Bouzelis, you could go Reed Sheppard, you can go Klingon Holland. I went with Stephon Castle here. And the reason for Stephon Castle at pick 5 is the Wizards' identity, at least what I hope they're building their identity towards, is defense. For a team that neglected defense for so long under Scott Brooks and really did it under Wes Unseld Jr., you gotta hang your hat somewhere. You drafted the best defender in last year's draft in Bilal. With the most upside off, with the most upside in the draft, Bilal Coulibaly, and then you draft Stephon Castle, who isn't putting up huge numbers in college, but is by far and away the best defender in this draft. He is, if you watched him throughout the NCAA tournament, especially in the national championship, he is clamps on the perimeter, clamps defending drivers. He's the best defender in this class, and for the Wizards trying to build this identity and trying to bring back defense, this is the pick. This is the pick. And look, Stephon Castle, I updated my big board. He's 3 for me. He's just the versatility with Stephon Castle, offensive upside, not the best shooter, but like those things will come in the NBA. People will, you know, prospects get better at shooting. And it's hard to teach them defense. Like, look at a guy like Corey Kispert. He's been in the league for 4 or 5 years. already a great shooter coming into the league. He's a 10 times better shooter than he was when he entered the league. But the defense still isn't great. It's better, but it's not great. You can teach shooting. You can't really teach the type of defensive instincts and the athleticism, the quick hands, the speed, the lateral movement that Stephon Castle has. So that's why he's my pick for the Wizards at number five. And, excuse me, you throw in the monkey wrench that we just threw in with the Kuzma trade to Memphis, you're right back on the board. You're right back on the board. And in the simulation, you have Rob Dillingham going, Rob Dillingham, I believe, going six to Toronto, which I don't think makes a lot of sense. But nonetheless, it works out perfectly for the Wizards because they're right back on the board with pick number seven. And with pick number seven, I don't know how he's still here. He's number four on my big board. Donovan Clingan to the Wizards. Now look, Donovan Clingan is, I would argue, the highest ceiling, or sorry, the highest floor in this draft. There's no chance Donovan Clingan isn't a solid NBA player. He has all the tools. He is a great screener. He's a good rim protector. Moves his feet pretty well for somebody that's 7'2", just 20 years old. Put up 20, basically 21 and 12 for UConn in a really tough Big East conference. Back-to-back NCAA champ. You look at guys like these the like these two that we that the Wizards would draft, Stephon Castle and Donovan Clingan. They won back-to-back national championships. Well, Clingan won back-to-back. Stephon Castle won one. But the championship DNA wasn't built at UConn from like a mellow Syracuse run where they have a guy that carried them and a bunch of like role players that kind of stepped up. UConn is a team where everyone bought in, and it was just contributions from across the board in every single game. It wasn't like one guy goes off for 30, then another guy will go off for 25. It was the same thing every game, and you couldn't stop it because they bought in to that championship DNA. They sacrificed their stats for something bigger than themselves, and that's why these UConn guys are so high on my board. I have them 1 at 3 and 1 at 4. Because they just know how to win. They know what it takes. They don't really care about themselves. And those are the selfless type of character guys that I want on the Wizards and that I want to build this culture for this turnaround in DC. So not only do the Wizards get another guard to go alongside Poole, where you can kind of, we played Bilal a lot at the shooting guard. I feel like he's more of a wing, so you can kind of slot him at the three. He can guard three, so you might as well play him there. And then you open up another guard spot for basically in a pretty similar defensive level player in Stephon Castle would easily be the best perimeter defender in terms of a guard on the team, basically counting Bilal as a forward. Then you have him next to Jordan Poole, who's not a good defender, basically a terrible defender, but improved that a little bit towards the end of the season and has really shown that he can be a true point guard for this team and in this league. So you pair that with your biggest need, which was a center, and you get basically, I would say, a day one starter in Donovan Clingan. I would expect if the Wizards take Clingan, he'll come off the bench just because, like, that's what the Wizards are doing. They're taking this really slow. You saw Bilal probably should have started last year, but they're taking it slow. They're moving him off the bench as a sixth or seventh man. So you'd probably see Bagley or Holmes start, and then you'd see Clingan come off the bench. But you could easily have a starting lineup come, what, February? With Jordan Poole, Stephon Castle, Bilal Coulibaly, Denny Avdia, Donovan Clingan, Corey Kispert off the bench as a sixth man. Every single player, your four best defenders are starting for you. And then you have Jordan Poole up top, who's not supposed to go out there and play defense. He's supposed to facilitate, score, set up his teammates, and then just not be the worst defender ever, and at least hold his own. And you've got a lockdown defense with, I would assume, a coach. I think Brian Keefe's going to stay, and we'll get to that later. But with a coach that really emphasizes defense and has the guys buy in way more than they used to defense, and you pair that those four guys with a scoring point guard who can kind of set these guys up. And look, it's not going to be pretty offensively if you put that group out. Bilal, very raw still offensively. Stephon Castle's got a long way to go. Denny's just scratching the surface of what he can do offensively. Klingon isn't going to create his own shot, but he's going to be a decent around the rim player. That's a really good lineup to look for the future. And they're going to suck, but you're also looking to get Cooper Flagg next year. So you don't want to be that good. And that's why you trade Kyle Kuzma, because Kyle Kuzma would get you 5 to 6 more wins. And those are wins that you don't want next year. You want to improve, but you don't want to win too much. And I feel like the way the Wizards, or at least the way I work this, the Wizards got better at center, their biggest position of need. They picked up the best defender in this draft class in Stephon Castle with tons of offensive upside. And you have a really, really good defensive core moving forward. And that's kind of where my direction was in this draft. So you take Stephon Castle at 5 with the Memphis trade. You take Donovan Klingon at 7. And then you move on to the 26th pick. And I know a lot of people are looking towards the front end of this draft and don't really know necessarily who they should take at 26. Maybe they don't care. But these are crucial picks for a rebuilding team. You never know who you can hit on. Look at fucking Denver, 41st overall pick, and they got a title from drafting Nikola Jokic. You look at a team like the Golden State Warriors, if they don't take Draymond Green, I think it was 35th overall, they might not win those rings. They might not have attracted Kevin Durant. Like, these are crucial picks when you're rebuilding. And I have the Wizards taking Tristan Da Silva right here at number 26. Easily one of my biggest, sleeper type players. A lot of people have him mocked in the second round. I have him at 22nd on my big board. He's a 6'9", lengthy forward that can stretch the floor, shot it very well, Colorado, solid rebounder. He does all the little things well, and he did it all for Colorado. And those are usually the guys that'll do the little things well for a team in the NBA. He's got to improve defensively, laterally, in terms of, adding a little bit more strength down low if he wants to play the four. I see him more so as a three, but he's a guy that does a lot of everything, and for a league that values shooting, especially at the forward and the wing spot, Da Silva's a guy that I really like. So I would take Da Silva 26 with the Clippers pick. And then at 52, and a lot of people want to package 52 and 26 and maybe a future second because we have so many and move up. I get that, but this is not the draft to do it in. Do it next year in a really deep class, but I'm fine staying where I am. I might even trade out of some of these picks, but that's too complicated for this. Staying firm at 52 with the Phoenix pick, I'm taking Jameer Watkins. And guys like Judah Mintz and Bronny James were still on the board here, but Jameer Watkins is a guy that I really like. And if you listen to my episode with Ben Pfeiffer, you know that this is a guy Ben really likes as well. He's a 6'7 shooting guard from Florida State. The shooting numbers aren't great, but he improved the shooting every year of college. He's also a really great rim finisher, someone that slashes into the paint, can playmake for his teammates, solid perimeter defender. If you're looking at what I like guards that can defend, and Stephon Castle can, Bilal can, and Jameer Watkins can. I think he's a much better player than where he's getting mocked, and if he falls to 52, he'd be my pick. Just another lanky defender that can go into the paint with the best of them, and that's kind of what I like from Jameer Watkins. So that's the draft, and I'm very, very happy with myself. I got another pick, and a lot of people are gonna be like, why would you want to get another pick in the worst draft class in the last 10 years? Donovan Klingon is why I want to get another pick. I drafted Castle at 5, I drafted Klingon at 7, and then I drafted Tristan Da Silva at 26 and Jameer Watkins at 52. That's a 4-man class. I will get into who's the two-way guy and who's a real contract guy as we try to work out the roster towards the end of the episode. But that's my 4-man draft class, and I'm so happy with it. And that kind of sets the stage for basically 2 days later, you get into some big roster decisions. June 29th is the deadline to waive Landry Shamet before his contract becomes official, becomes fully guaranteed. He's slotted to make $11.1 million in 2024-25. I'm waiving him. I'm waiving Landry Shamet. By waiving Landry Shamet, I owe him no money. He's completely off the books, unrestricted free agent. Fuck off, go somewhere else. I appreciate you, Landry, for your time in DC. You had some really surprising dunks. I didn't know you were like that, but you don't fit our timeline at all, honestly. You should have been moved to the deadline last year. Don't know why you weren't, but go win a ring. go sign with a contender. They'll value your defense and your shooting. I don't value it anymore. So I'm waving Landry Shamet to save $11 million. And the $11 million, I don't give a fuck about. We have so much cap space, it doesn't matter. The roster spot and the minutes is what I care about. And by waiving him, I open up 15 to 20 minutes a game at the guard position and a roster spot that I can use on somebody like Jahmyr Watkins or DeSilva. At that same time, it's also the deadline for Rashawn Holmes to pick up his player option, which is $12.6 million. And if I'm being realistic, that's probably $8.6 million more than he would receive in the open market. And the Wizards are just going to sit there and say, look, we know you're going to accept it. We'll pay you the $12 million. They knew that when they made the trade with Dallas to make those contracts work. But like I said, with Shamet, I could care less about salary at this point in the rebuild. The Wizards have so much cap space to where it doesn't matter. And a guy like Holmes, if you play him as a starter or even as a backup and he looks great, you could do something like you did with Gafford. And you're not going to get a first round pick for Holmes, but you might be able to pick up a second round pick or two, bring back an expiring salary, move him at the deadline. That's kind of what you're hoping for with Holmes, but you'll play him as much as possible. You'll shop him around and see what you can get, but he's going to pick that up. So Shamit's gone, save 11 million, but you basically counter that out with Holmes picking up his player option, so he'll be back. Then you move on to July 6th, and that's when free agency officially begins. 2 years ago, when Bradley Beal signed his Megamax year, fucking disgusting that he signed. I don't even want to talk about how much it was. But this was a huge date for the Wizards because I think on July 6th, Bradley Beal signed. But right now for the Wizards, this day means absolutely nothing, and especially nothing in my fantasy world or the rebuild I'm doing. Because I'm not signing many people, if anybody. I don't necessarily view this free agency class as great, and even if I did, it wouldn't matter to the Wizards because I'm not looking to spend big money right now. I'm looking to build through the draft. I'm looking to build through maybe some, solid trades, and I don't want to spend another $40 million, $50 million on a guy in free agency that probably won't fit here. If you look at some of the last big named free agents that the Wizards signed, I mean, Spencer Dinwiddie gave him what, like 20 plus million a year. He was gone after 40 games. Bradley Beal spent a year and a half here before, basically 2 years here before he was traded after the Megamax. Basically, only played 1 year's worth of games in those 2 years. The Wizards miss on so many of these big name guys. Fucking Jan Mahimi still a cap hold because that's the grossest contract ever. The signing big name free agents to huge deals, I'm done. I want to build through the draft. I want to extend my guys. I don't want to offer up big money. I don't even want to give like $8 to $10 million per year contracts right now in free agency because I don't care about other guys. I care about the guys we draft. I care about the guys that we sign from the G League and that we're trying to give minutes to. I don't want to sit here like I did this year and watch Landry Shamet take minutes away from Bilal Coulibaly and Jared Butler and all of these guys that will be here when Landry Shamet won't. So I'm going to be quiet in free agency. I might sign some of my own. The Wizards only have two free agents. They have Tyus Jones and they have Anthony Gill. I think Tyus Jones is a sign and trade candidate. But for the sake of this rebuild, I shopped around. I looked at a lot of teams that could be interested. It doesn't really work if I'm being real. There's not a lot of value in the sign and trade market, at least for now. And you got to have a lot of agreements there. You got to have Tyus want to sign with a team that has the assets to make that work in terms of swapping salaries. And it's a lot that goes into it. So I think Tyus just walks, which sucks because you wanted to move him at the deadline for something. But I think you just cut at your losses. Have Tyus walk away. Don't have him eat up more minutes at the point guard position. Give the keys to Poole at the guard. Let Tyus go and just move on. But I am re-signing Anthony Gill to a 1 year, $4.1 million deal. And I know a lot of people are going to be like, why are you signing Anthony Gill? Like, he's not good. He's old. He's taking away minutes. You just said you don't want him, veterans, to take away minutes. Anthony Gill's not going to play. Anthony Gill played sporadic minutes for Woj, and then towards the end of the season, only played when every single player on the Wizards was not healthy. He's a great locker room guy. Everyone in the organization, not even the player, not just the players, but literally everyone loves him. Funny Anthony Gill story. I went to three games this season. At two of them, before Anthony Gill goes through his warmups, he literally goes down the entire courtside row and shakes hands with every single person, every single fan, and has genuine conversation with them for like 5 to 10 minutes. He's the guy. He's the boy. And that's the guy that you want in DC. You don't want all these young guys flying around with their heads cut off. You need some order, and you need a guy that they look at. And look, Gil's the first one in, last one out. Really good in terms of this is what you gotta do, and be a true professional, be a great teammate. Look at a guy like Anthony Gill, and that's the guy that I want these young guys to learn from. So I'm giving him his money because he can make bread overseas if you don't pay him, or he can go to a contender. So I'm re-signing Gill. I'm letting Tyus Jones walk. That's the extent of my free agency. And now I might look at a veteran point guard that would take a minimum salary deal, and maybe just here I'll pay you $2 million. Play my third string point guard and just kind of let Jordan Poole and Jared Butler learn from you. I don't necessarily think you should play type thing. That's fine by me. If fucking John Wall is like, I kind of want to play again and I'll take the vet minimum and I'll come back to DC, not only would you reignite your fan base, but you could play John Wall like two backup minutes behind Jordan Poole, let him learn from, let Jordan Poole learn from the greatest point guard in Washington Wizards history. And then if John plays well enough, you can move him at the deadline for something, or it'll just be a wholesome reunion. Have people like me that watch all 82 games at least be excited about something, and then go from there. Look, I know that's a little hypocritical because I don't want to sign. I say I don't want to sign old guys, but I'll make an exception for John Wall because he's the fucking goat. But John Wall would maybe play half a season. Jared Butler, I feel like Jared Butler learning behind John Wall would be better for Jared Butler than playing 40 games behind Jordan Poole. And that's not a diss on Jordan Poole. It's John Wall is so knowledgeable on the game, especially from a professional standpoint, not even the basketball part, just how to handle yourself, but also the basketball part. One of the greatest passers of all time, one of the best defensive point guards of all time. I feel like Jared Butler could benefit from learning behind him for half a season or even a full season, and as opposed to just playing for 40 games or 50 games. Just hear me out on that. I've seen a lot of Russ rumors. I feel like Russ kind of wants to play, and he'd probably want to start, so I don't think that's the smart move. But I'm very quiet in free agency. I'm re-signing Anthony Gill. I don't really want to look at anybody else unless it's a guy like John Wall, and that's biased, and I know that. But I'm also letting Tyus walk. I explored the sign and trade market. I didn't like a lot of what I saw. Didn't think it would work. So I'm just going to cut my losses. So that's free agency. That moves us on to the summer league in July 12th to the 22nd. My preference is Bilal makes the French national team and plays for them in the Olympics. And I know a lot of people are going to be disappointed. I think I'm probably going to go to Las Vegas for summer league. So it would be better if Bilal was there. That would be cooler for me. But you get to play in France on the French national team with Wemby, who he's really good friends with, and not even to mention how much talent there is on that team. There's a guy like Rudy Gobert, three-time, I think, after he wins this year, three-time NBA Defensive Player of the Year on the French national team. The French national team beat Team USA. They are very good. There's a lot of great French players, and they're going to be a better learning experience against better competition for Bilal than Summer League will be. I'd rather Bilal play against the best of the best internationally than go up against first and second year draft picks and G League players in the Summer League. He might play better and he might play more, but the experience in France is better for Bilal in the long haul. So I prefer he makes the team. He's fully healed from that wrist injury and gets that experience behind great players. And that moves you on to two other guys. Look, Vucevic, I would expect to play. Only in a second year, going to be under contract for the Wizards. He's a guy that really should benefit from more reps, playing starter minutes at center, and I'm really excited to see him again. He played very well last summer league, and I think he'll do it again this year. And you got all three of the Wizards picks, actually four now that I made that trade. They'll all play, and they should all start. And it'll be very exciting to see them line up in Summer League, get a little bit of a glimpse of what you can expect in the offseason. So that's the 12th to the 22nd. Training camp begins the 1st of October, the 22nd of October. The regular season begins. The Wizards, of course, won't play opening night because no one gives a fuck about them. They might not even play the second night. They might play the 24th as their opening game, which don't play in the NBA at all. This is a rebuilding team. No one really wants to see them play except for their fans. So there's a lot of obviously key decisions in this offseason. What to do with Kuz, what to do with Tyus, who do you want to draft, all that stuff. I tried my best to be realistic in this. Like, you know, I did 100, I literally clicked simulate 100 times to settle on the fifth pick that the Wizards would get. I asked two Grizzlies fans that I know if they would take this Kuzma deal, and one said, yes, I would love to. I don't really value the seventh pick. And Kennard, Contar, we need another player, and especially in a really tough West, and I think Kuzma could be that guy. And another was a little reluctant to move on. They think they can get more for the seventh pick, but they also understood they're in win now mode, and the seventh pick in this draft isn't that valuable. And when you look at it, Kyle Kuzma, for the package that I've given, they said it's fair. They don't know if they'd accept it, but they think it's a decent deal. So I think Memphis would probably be inclined to take it, and that's why I decided to move along with it. I wouldn't have done it if the Grizzlies fans said they would absolutely not do it. But that's Kyle Kuzma moved on to Memphis, and then you take Castle, you take Klingon, and a couple of other guys, Wave Shamet, and this is the roster that you're left with. You have Jordan Poole and Jared Butler as your point guards. Jordan Poole is supposed to start this year at point guard. I mean, if he plays anywhere near the way that he played last season towards the end, it's successful, and he's only going to get better. He's 24. He's learning a new position. He's only getting better. Just wait. He's going to be great this year. And then a guy like Jared Butler, who I thought should have been backing him up from the start, when Poole was slated as a two guard, I thought Butler should have been backing up Tyus. He gets the backup minutes this year, still under a rookie deal. Very, very pleased with the way he's developed. A good defender as well. So those are the only two point guards that I'm having currently on the roster. And then you move on to your shooting guard position. And look, it gets a little dicey here just because I feel like Denny Avdia is better served as a power forward, mainly because I don't necessarily love that certain coaches have him sit on the wing and just kind of chill there. And also, we have a need with Kuzma gone at power forward. But I'm getting ahead of myself. At the two guard position, we have Bilal Coulibaly. I'll just say wings. We have Stephon Castle. We have Bilal Coulibaly. We have Corey Kispert. We have Johnny Davis. Those are kind of your shooting guard small forwards. And I kind of like that we don't have those defined roles. Like, those guys are big enough to where they can maybe play the three, but they're also quick enough to where they can play the two. If it were up to me, I would have Corey start at the three. I would have Bilal start at the two, and I would have Denny Avdia start at the four. And that just made, I feel like Corey Kispert could come off the bench as that sixth man, but he's earned the ability to start, and I think he's better served as a three than Bilal. Not defensively, but he's gonna get guarded by threes, so it just makes sense. And they're interchangeable. They're wings. Fuck it. Just characterize them as wings. I would start Poole, Kispert, Coulibaly, Avdia, and Bagley, and that's my starting five. And then you move on. You got guys like Johnny Davis. And I know a lot of people want to move on from Johnny Davis. Understandable. He hasn't been great. But why? You have so much cap space. His salary doesn't mean anything to you. Just hope he can turn into a Jalen Suggs, a great defender, and go from there. And then look, you got Omer Rui and Baldwin rounding out the power forward spot behind Denny Avdia. Even a guy like Vucevic, who I view as a center, you open up a lot more minutes for him at power forward. And especially when you got Holmes, Bagley, and Klingon at the center position, it just makes sense for you to find more minutes for Vucevic at the four. He could back up Denny Avdia. And he could play a lot more minutes than if he's behind that logjam at center. So you got a really lanky, a really good defensive team in Washington. You add in De Silva, you add in Jahmyr Watkins. You got a solid group. And something I'm really looking forward to with this team is the defensive versatility. I'm looking forward to the shooting that you got with guys like Kispert and Poole, improved shooting from Avdija. Hopefully Bilal gets that shot down. There's a lot to be excited about for this team, and it's also a team that's designed to suck enough this next season. Your team's way worse. I'm just gonna say that right now. I understand looking at this team versus last year's team. This team is way worse. You lost arguably your best player in Kyle Kuzma, your number one scorer in Kyle Kuzma, your best, point guard. I think Tyus is a better point guard than Jordan Poole. He's smarter with the ball. He doesn't turn it over. He gets his teammates the ball. Like, he's a better point guard than Poole. Not a better player, but a better point guard than Jordan Poole. You lose him, and you lose a guy like Landry Shamet, who was a very solid role player throughout the season. Obviously, you lost Daniel Gafford, who got you a couple wins last year. You lost him at the deadline. Like, you're gonna be worse, but that's good. You're going into a year where the prize of Cooper Flagg or Boozer or any of these really good draft picks, that's what you want. And you want to set yourself up to be a bottom three team with a 14% chance and hopefully a great chance at staying in that top five to solidify yourself getting a great player. And I feel like this roster and this offseason that I just projected kind of does that. You sell yourself up for success with two great players in Stephon Castle and Donovan Clingan, who I would kind of interchange. I'd prefer to start him, but I understand maybe they want to shop around Bagley and Holmes and play them a little more. But you have a center that I think is really good. The highest ceiling in this draft, the highest floor, sorry, in this draft. Stephon Castle, the best defender in this draft, to pair with Bilal Coulibaly, the best defender of last year's draft. And you got a really solid nucleus to build around Poole, Kispert, and Avdija. Three guys that should be here for the long haul. Kispert up for an extension. I prefer to extend him, but I haven't looked into that yet. And you got a really solid group. You have all your draft picks for the next couple of, basically all your draft picks for the next couple of years. You have the Suns pick swaps in 26, 28, and 30 that'll probably be used based on how fucking bad they are. You have five more second round picks from the Phoenix Suns after this draft. You have the ability to acquire more draft capital if you decide to trade veterans like Rashawn Holmes at the deadline, Marvin Bagley at the deadline. You have the foundation. It's just about developing players and moving in that direction, moving in an upward trajectory. The last thing I'll say about my ideal offseason, and this might be controversial, but I'm giving Brian Keefe another shot. And this is a little two-faced because I kind of like the house money approach with this. Like, if Brian Keefe sucks again, okay, he's not a good coach. You move on from him, but he also sucked enough for you guys to get a top pick. But I also think he's just a great leader. I think the guys rallied around him, and I think you could have thrown a pile of fucking donuts there, and it would have been better than Wes Unseld Jr. on the sideline. But Brian Keefe showed me enough to where I'm comfortable bringing him back. And look, I don't really want to commit right now to a head coach. I want to stay put. If you ask me who the top guy was outside of Keefe, Charles Lee, a longtime assistant with the Bucks, that's the top guy. I feel like there's a reason he's been a finalist for so many jobs the last 2 or 3 years. I think the Lakers are going to snag him. But if it's not Keefe, it's Charles Lee. But I think it should be Keefe. Give him another shot. The players seem to like him. He seems to be a player's coach, a guy that really cares about defense more so than offense, and a guy that just won't tolerate bullshit, won't tolerate bad effort. And on a rebuilding team, you got to have a guy that's going to come in here and establish that culture of, I don't give a fuck if we suck for right now. We're not, really trying to win, but you sure as hell got to expect us to give everything we have to be a great defensive team and to compete at least in every single game and not just get blown out of the water, even if a team like Boston's 100 times better. And I think Brian Keefe's the right man for that. I don't think he's a tank commander. I think he's a guy that can establish a culture here, and that's kind of why I'm inclined to give him another shot, because I feel like it wasn't fair to give him 45 games with the worst roster in the league and say Here, do something with it. And if you're not good enough, we're not bringing you back. I think he did enough. And that's kind of why I'm gonna sit here and kind of make the case for Brian Keefe to remain head coach at least for the next year. So that's my offseason right there. If I simulated it, look, we simulated the lottery 100 times and settled on the fifth pick. I got the fifth pick, took Castle, traded Kuzma to the Grizzlies for the seventh pick, took Klingon, took Tristan Da Silva 26, Jameer Watkins 52, re-signed Anthony Gill, let Tyus Jones walk, waived Shamet, and I kind of settled on a roster that's built on defense, on youth, and banking on the fact that those guys are going to kind of mold together. And this is going to be the foundation for the Wizards for the next 2 to 3 years before they add their superstar, in terms of these guys are going to get it done, hopefully. And I'm confident in that. Bring back Brian Keefe as well. So, look, that's going to do it. I know there's going to be a lot of people that think I'm a fucking terrible GM and say, how are you going to think that any of this is realistic? Or how do you think the Grizzlies are going to accept that deal? Why are you trading Kuzma? And that's fine. I know a lot of people, there's a lot of people that don't like a lot of the stuff that I do in these mock things. And that's good, because you don't want everyone to just agree with you. I like this dialogue. That's why we do it. So if you think I'm the worst GM ever and you think that I made some stupid ass moves, please feel free to tell me. You don't have to sugarcoat it. Send me a DM or just at me on Twitter and tell me that I suck, and that's fine. We can talk about it. But also, if you liked some of the moves I did, let me know. It's always nice to hear that you like some of the trades I do or some of the picks that I make. And again, as always, thank you so much for listening. There's not a day that goes by that I'm not appreciative of all you guys that tune into every episode, because it makes things like this fun for me and make it worthwhile and interesting and just a great time for me and hopefully for you guys listening. So again, that's gonna do it for this episode. Hope you enjoyed. Let me know your thoughts, and yeah, go Wiz.